Now, the midterm elections have passed with Tony Evers and Ron Johnson both winning re-election. With a close U.S. Senate race and a slightly less close race for governor, small changes in voting patterns can make a big difference. Turnout in rural, suburban, and urban areas can change from election to election, so can the partisan gap in key counties. Our next guest has been breaking down the numbers and the trends, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Did the results line up to your expectations in this midterm, if you had any? What are some of the big changes you've noticed when it comes to voting outcomes in your part of the state, wherever you are? Have you seen changes, flips from one party to another, changes in turnout? What do you think is driving those? What do you think could happen to make a different party maybe be more competitive? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Craig Gilbert is a Lubar Center Fellow at Marquette University Law School's Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education. He was the longtime Washington Bureau Chief from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, still writes for them from time to time. Craig, welcome back to Central Time.
It's great to be with you.
Before we start digging into the trends, a key point I mentioned, we have close elections here in Wisconsin. Even a subtle change in outcomes in a county or type of county or whatever can make a big difference, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're on a knife's edge, and it doesn't take much, as we've seen from all the crazy close presidential elections we've had in Wisconsin. It doesn't take much to change the outcome of an election.
All right. Now, there's in a recent piece on this you wrote, the headline, I guess, is trend continues when it comes to Wisconsin's most densely populated counties and least densely populated counties. What's happening?
So we've seen this starting in 2016, you know, with kind of the realignment of the party coalitions that Donald Trump kind of accelerated. We've seen a distinct trend, and it has to do with the growth of the urban-rural divide. It has to do with Democrats doing better in more populous places and Republicans doing better in less populous places. So I'm talking about the election shifts. So What we saw in this election was more of what we've been seeing, which is Republicans continuing to gain ground in rural counties, especially in the northern and western halves of the state. But that trend is flattening out a little bit. But the trend that's really proceeding pretty dramatically is the erosion of Republican margins in the suburbs. And so certainly the WOW counties, the Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington are not performing nearly as well for Republicans as they used to. And then in the close-in suburbs around Madison and Milwaukee, those are getting bluer and bluer all the time.
Yeah, let's talk about those WOW counties, because it used to be on election night, you'd watch turnout in Dade and Milwaukee County for Democrats, and you'd watch those suburban counties for Republicans. Each side would try to run up the score in each of those. Now, in those suburban counties, you're not saying, I think, that Democrats are like winning or even close to winning those counties, but they've cut the margin in really significant ways.
Yeah, so the most extreme example is probably Ozaukee County, where I think Tony Evers lost Ozaukee County for governor by around 11 points. Ozaukee County used to be the most reliably Republican county in the state. And now I think in this election, it was like 45th out of 72. So Ozaukee County has done a real shift. You know, it's the highest, I think, earning county or highest income level county in the state, highest education possibly. And so, parts of Ozaukee County, maybe one or two communities, are now actually even voting Democratic in some of these races. We're seeing the margins in Waukesha County and even Washington County, which is still very, very Republican. We're seeing the margins decrease. So in places that Republicans used to be winning by 45 points, they're now winning by 25 points. That is really significant in a tight statewide election.
Talking to Craig Gilbert from Marquette University Law School's Lubar Center, longtime Washington Bureau Chief from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at trends in elections here in Wisconsin. Who is voting for whom and in what numbers? And you could join in with a report if you'd like from your part of the state or a question for Craig at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Good afternoon. I'm excited to tell you this because it's the first time it's happened in a generation. I know in my lifetime, we've always had a congressman, Dave Obey was in office for 40
forever.
Years.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and we had an assembly representative, Frank Boyle, was in office for, 40 years as well. But now we got three Republicans elected to the elected offices we have up here. We got District 25 State Senate, Republican Romaine Quinn. We got Angie Sapik as District 73 Assembly. And we got Tom Tiffany as our congressman. So all three offices are Republican now. The red wave did hit northern Wisconsin, and it's significant going back 60, 70 years.
Jeff, thanks a lot for that call. And Craig, people were really watching Jeff's neighborhood this year, in part for Republican hopes of getting a legislative supermajority in the state. They didn't. This is part of that trend, though, of a less urban and less suburban communities going more Republican.
Yeah, I mean, those three counties in the extreme northwestern corner of Wisconsin are still, they still voted Democratic for governor, but the margins are getting smaller. And then within those counties, outside of the most Democratic cities, the towns, the countryside is getting a lot more Republican. And obviously that showed up, and that shows up in these legislative races. So one of the things I was looking for in this election, again, was whether, how much more ground can Democrats lose in these small counties? And if you look at the 40 counties in Wisconsin that produce the fewest votes, which is kind of just a rough way of saying the 40 smallest counties, the Republicans improved their margin in 37 of the 40 in the governor's race from 4 years ago to this year. So they clearly are still gaining ground in smaller counties, but it doesn't add up to a huge number of votes gained because, they're gaining modest ground, and the big shifts already occurred, 4 years ago and 6 years ago. And also there's fewer voters in these counties. At the opposite end of the spectrum, the big counties continued swinging for Democrats, whether they're Republican counties or Democratic counties. And that had a more profound impact on the bottom line in this election, because the swing in these populous counties, is a bigger vote swing. And that's why you saw Tony Evers win by a bigger margin this time than last time.
Yeah, let's look at Dane County for a minute. Wisconsin Conservative Digest, I'm on their mail list. They sent a thread along with a lot of Republican strategists and a lot of focus on Dane County, interestingly. Bill McCoshin, longtime key Republican strategist, quoting from his part of this, Dane County is the fastest growing county in Wisconsin, and the GOP continuously gets slaughtered there. The only way to fix that is to invest in the ground and air war over a sustained period in Dane County, rather than ignoring it and hoping to make up the difference someplace else. He goes on, we don't need to win Dane County to win statewide. We do need 30 to 35% instead of 22 or 23%. Republicans very conscious in this thread that they need to do something in Dane County, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that sort of puzzled me in the last few years about this is that, when Democrats got annihilated in rural counties in 2016, there was all this soul searching and hand wringing, but it meant that there was a lot of thought that went into and a lot of discussion that went into what happened. How could we do this better? It doesn't mean they found the answers, but it means there was certainly a recognition of the fact that this was a really damaging trend for the party, and it was important for the party to think about how to become more competitive and how to reduce their deficits in those places. I haven't heard the same thing until now on the Republican side about places like Dane County. You hear it about Milwaukee. There's a long history of Republicans trying to kind of cut into their deficits in Milwaukee, in the city of Milwaukee. But it's like Dane County, it's almost like it's conceded that Democrats are going to wipe them out in Dane County, and the margins keep getting bigger. And then when you layer on the population growth, the impact of these growing Democratic margins is profound on statewide elections. And so absolutely the logic is impeccable there of, hey, if you can lose Dane County by 50 points instead of 55 points, that improves your odds of winning a statewide election.
Let's go back to our callers. Deanna is with us in Bayfield County. Deanna, hi.
Hi, yeah. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. What did you want to bring up, Deanna?
Oh, good. I would like to hear your thoughts on the fact that gerrymandering is so severe in the state of Wisconsin. I just feel we can vote Democratic in the big elections, but because the Republicans have gerrymandered so severely, I believe we're the most gerrymandered state in the union now, that trying to get representatives back into the legislation is almost impossible.
Deanna, thanks a lot for that call. And Craig, those same trends we were talking about, you know, gerrymandering doesn't affect the governor and U.S. Senate race, but those trends we were talking about do have a big impact on the, as Deanna says, a gerrymandered legislative district.
Yeah, I mean, I've been studying this for a long time. And, you know, when the subject comes up about the legislative imbalance, Democrats, the answer you hear from Democrats is the gerrymander. And the answer you hear from Republicans is, well, Democrats just aren't competitive anymore in rural areas, and it's their own fault. And the truth is that both things are very significantly driving this. I mean, obviously, Democrats would be more competitive in the legislature if they did better or performed like they used to in rural counties and small towns. But the gerrymandering effect is profound, and it can't just be dismissed. And it's sort of like, you know, I think, you know, my rule of thumb is, you know, you got 99 seats in the assembly. If you had a neutral map, which basically just, you know, you draw districts that don't look funny, you sort of obey jurisdictional boundaries where you can, you make them as compact as you can, I think Republicans would have like a 13 or 10 to 15 seat natural advantage in the assembly because of their power in rural Wisconsin. But instead, they have an advantage that's twice that big. And the other profound impact of gerrymandering is the way to gerrymander a state is to basically get rid of competitive districts, because you want to pack all the other party's voters into as few districts as possible, and then you want to maximize the number of safe seats your own party has. And the effect of that is you don't have any competitive districts. So we have this crazy situation where Wisconsin is unbelievably competitive in statewide elections, and it's got almost zero competition in legislative elections. And that's just nuts. It raises issues of accountability. And it's just, I think, is really not a healthy situation, just from a partisan point of view, because I think it's just as bad when in those states where Democrats gerrymander. I think it's just really unhealthy from a Democratic and civic point of view.
Deanna, thanks for the call. We're talking to Craig Gilbert, Lubar Center Fellow at Marquette Law School, former Washington Bureau Chief of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking to us about big voting trends here in Wisconsin in the midterm elections. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen things changing in your part of the state? Is there something you'd like to hear from one or both of the parties to appeal to your community? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Craig Gilbert, Lubar Center Fellow at Marquette University Law School, longtime observer of Wisconsin politics, looking at Wisconsin voting trends and what happened in the midterm elections. Still time for your calls at 800-642-1234. Why do you think Republicans are doing better and better over time in rural parts of the state? Democrats doing better and better in Milwaukee County, Dane County, some shifts in the suburbs as well. Join in at 800-642-1234. Craig, want to check in on a couple other parts of the state. First of all, Milwaukee County, big advantage for Democrats. What did we see there in terms of margin and turnout this year?
So we saw a bigger margin than ever. I believe Democrats won Milwaukee County by more than 40 points. And Milwaukee County generated a bigger raw vote margin for Evers by about 10,000 votes than it did 4 years earlier. But the turnout declined. I mean, it was easily the biggest turnout decline in the state, certainly in raw votes. And also, I think, you know, one of the biggest, I think it was the biggest decline in turnout proportionately. So those two things didn't quite cancel each other out, but Democrats actually just, again, performed better in Milwaukee County, bigger margins, more votes, more vote margins, but smaller turnout. So, you know, that's something for Democrats to keep an eye on, and particularly in the city of Milwaukee, The turnout, the number of ballots cast went down by an even larger amount. Again, the margins are still huge, but in really close elections, this can come into play. I think it certainly hurt Mandela Barnes that there wasn't a bigger turnout in the city of Milwaukee. I don't think mathematically you can argue that it flat out cost him the election, but you know, you can imagine an even closer election where it could have cost him the election.
And before we go back to our callers, northeastern Wisconsin, Fox City's Green Bay, what trends did we see there?
That's obviously, you know, when you look at all the big counties, you've got the big Republican counties like Waukesha, you've got the big Democratic counties like Milwaukee and Dane, but these are big purple counties relative to the rest of the state. So Brown County, which is Green Bay, Outagamie County, which includes Appleton and Winnebago County, the Bow counties, if you want to call them that.
I do now.
They moved in a Democratic direction in the governor's race compared to 4 years ago. So they tend to be, you don't see the same like relentless trend in these counties like you see in Waukesha or Dane, where the same thing keeps happening. They kind of swing back and forth a little bit more. So we've seen elections where Republicans have been, you know, prospering there or more. I mean, the margins are single digit, but Democrats did pretty well, at least in the governor's race in the Fox Valley this time around. Again, it sort of fits into this pattern of the bigger counties seeing a shift in a Democratic direction.
Let's go back to our callers. Jack is on the line in Madison. Jack, hello.
Hi there. So it's really interesting because we saw that, well, obviously Tony Evers took back the governor's mission or held on to it, which we're grateful for. But I saw that in neighboring Michigan and Minnesota, obviously they were able to hold on to the governor's seats as well. But then somehow they were able to complete the blue trifecta. So Dems were able to reclaim the legislatures in both Michigan and Minnesota. And even though it seems like we have quite a bit of work ahead of us to do the same in Wisconsin, what will it take for us to complete our own blue trifecta and join our neighbors in that regard?
Thanks for the call, Jack. So Jack would like to see Wisconsin do what happened in Michigan and Minnesota with, as he said, complete Democratic control in both of those states. But this kid, Wisconsin, is doing its own thing. What is different about Wisconsin versus its upper Midwest neighbors?
Well, we talked about gerrymandering, and that does come into play here. I know that Michigan had a referendum that reformed the redistricting process, and that created maps, you know, more equitable maps that, you know, made it possible in a good Democratic year, at least in Michigan, for them to control the legislature. There's literally no way possible for Democrats to win the legislature with these maps. I think the other, in Wisconsin I'm talking, and then I think the other difference is, you know, with respect to Minnesota and Michigan, you have a bigger concentration of the electorate or bigger proportion of the electorate that's in this sort of metropolitan counties. In Wisconsin, there's proportionally a bigger kind of non-metropolitan vote. So the Democratic problem in the rural counties is a bigger problem in Wisconsin for Democrats than it is in these two other states.
Thanks for the call. We'll go to Lynn now in Wauwatosa. Lynn, hi.
Oh, hi. I wonder if you can comment on the obscene amount of campaign contributions that are given, particularly by a few billionaires, which in my mind means that they basically bought the Senate. I think we'll see Mandela Barnes again because he's such a talented and good candidate. But I'm disgusted by the obscene amount of money that has, I think, contaminated the election system.
Lynn, I gotcha. Thanks for the call. And Craig, I think a lot of people saw ads for incumbents Tony Evers and Ron Johnson and some ads for their challengers, but a lot of money got dumped here.
Yeah, I mean, you can, you know, what happened in this election? Well, the two incumbents in the big statewide races both won, and both of them, you know, there wasn't a lot of separation in those two races. There was about a 4-point difference in the margin, you know, a 3-point Democratic victory and for governor, a 1-point Republican victory for U.S. Senate. How do you explain that? Well, one of the factors, I mean, is certainly incumbency is an advantage, but one reason incumbency is an advantage is you tend to have more resources than your opponent. And so it was the case that Democrats had a financial advantage in the governor's race. I'm pretty sure about that. And Republicans had a financial advantage in the U.S. Senate race, in particular in the weeks after the primary, August primary, where, you know, there's evidence in the polling that this that phase of the campaign was really damaging to Mandela Barnes because he was outspent. He was getting, you know, hit on television with a lot of negative ads. And that seemed to, if you believe the polls, that seemed to, you know, affect that race. So, yeah, I mean, this is a feature of our system now. I mean, obviously, money has always played a role. But you do have, you know, really wealthy people, you know, certainly on the Republican side in this race, in these state races, it has happened in races on the Democratic side as well, that just have the ability to kind of bankroll a race almost limitlessly. They can't do it by giving directly to a candidate, but they can do it just by funding, you know, quote, you know, third party advertising and or independent expenditures and affect a race that way. This is now a feature of our system, and it's, you know, it's impactful.
Our last half a minute, Craig, every year or every election, I think, okay, things can't get worse for Republicans in Dane County. Things can't get worse for Democrats in rural Wisconsin. I've been wrong every time lately. Is there a bottom?
Well, I think there may be a bottom. We may see the bottom sooner on the rural side, just because the shifts were so dramatic in 2016 that, you know, it may be that we're approaching the point where Democrats can't sink too much further. The shifts in the suburbs have been, you know, ongoing, and they don't seem to have abated in this election. So that would be the troubling thing on the Republican side, would be, you know, what is the bottom? I mean, because there's still some of these communities, a lot of them are still Republican, but they're getting less Republican. So I don't know, you know, they're going to have to do some soul searching to figure out how to sort of stop the bleeding. They thought they would stop the bleeding in this cycle for a variety of reasons, but it didn't happen.
Craig, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Absolutely.
That's Craig Gilbert, longtime political observer, looking at some of the big voting trends from the midterm elections here in Wisconsin.